Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm John.
And we...
speed round.
We're going to speed round. Lightning round. It's short stories.
Yeah, everyone's been asking us for a while to do it again. So we figured, why not?
We figured we would do that. So with us for short stories, we have some of our greatest stories from Aaron.
What's up, guys?
The man, the only man I know who had another human being's skin draped on him.
Ugh.
And it wasn't on purpose.
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I mean, I've known some people who have had other people's skin draped on them on purpose.
The lotion on the skin.
And usually I was arresting them.
With dark shit, sorry.
Why were you wearing somebody's skin? That's the real question.
You didn't listen to that episode?
You didn't listen to Aaron's episode?
I thought I did.
It was the fat arsonist that he carried out on his
Never
shoulder.
Never mind. Yep. Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
And his captain said, don't move.
Best carry I ever had.
Worst one, too.
I still turn pale.
And as you can hear, Sean is back with us. What's happening?
Hello, hello.
It's a great conversation
you
had.
If you guys hear a leaf blower, sorry, ahead of time, I told the fucking gardener to stay away today. He no listen.
El rocketero.
He's leaving.
And... of course, one of our greatest storytellers as well, Elliot. We tried to get JR. JR's working. He's on the big clock.
JR's a better storyteller.
Yeah, but also send JR some messages because he flaked on us. So go ahead and send him all the messages he did.
I was looking forward to his stories.
I was. Yeah. And then I have two other people that, because of what's going on in the world right now, are basically up to their eyeballs in shit. Both as one is a firefighter and one's in law enforcement. One we've had on the show. The other one was actually, I can't wait to get him on the show because he was actually working at, if you can believe this, he was working at the station when the wood chipper story went down. So,
oh yeah,
John knows one firefighter who comes and tells the wood chipper story. Mm. And I happened to, Aaron and I both personally happened to know another firefighter who coincidentally said, dude, I worked at the station that happened at. And I was there that day. I saw him come back from that call. So he's basically the... this whole
Capitan.
For the record, anytime I see like the city people like going around cutting limbs and there's one of those wood chippers, I kind of slow down hoping I get to see that every single time now.
So I watched my, you know, during the quarantine, I'm catching up my kids on movies they should have seen but never did. And we watched Fargo.
Yeah, Fargo. Oh,
yeah. And, you know, you got that. The famous wood chipper scene at the end. And this was the first time I'd watched that scene and watched the actor struggling to get the leg in the wood chipper. I'm all, that's bullshit. It's not hard at all.
It's not hard at all.
You know, we should get someone on that was either there or knows more about that incident in downtown LA a few days ago.
Yes,
that explosion. That was horrible.
We might be able to.
What do you guys want
to
know?
Yet another reason not to become a firefighter.
Nope. Do you have info on it?
Not down.
I don't know if I have any info you don't know.
Oh. Well, then let's get some info from the inside sources. We'll reach out to
people. I've talked shit for 30 years about firemen and, you know, all in fun and games and love, but I'll tell you, man, that was fucked up.
Yeah, and that's why we always say we're all not the same team, but we're all on the same side.
It's a honeymoon.
The Navy can make fun of the Marines and the cops can make fun of the firefighters, but don't you dare hurt one of them because the other one will come and fuck you up for it.
One of them may never work again. He may lose his hands.
The video was nasty.
That was a hard video. Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we can get some information. But for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there was an explosion in downtown Los Angeles, and 11 firefighters?
12.
12 firefighters were rushed to the hospital as a result of injuries sustained in the explosion. So,
yeah, it made me sick to watch it.
Yeah, prayers to them and their family. It's don't if you can't if you don't have to watch the video, don't. It won't enrich your life at all. Especially if you're related to somebody who works in firefighting. Yeah. So, prayers go out to them. But speaking of your skin hanging off story, we were talking about who's going to open this one up, and so I thought of something as a result of you saying you had somebody's skin hanging off of you that was involuntary, and I was thinking about people that have done things voluntarily, and so I thought I'd open it up by telling a story. So we get this call of a nut job, and he is, I was working graves, so it's 5 o'clock in the morning, the sun's just barely coming up, and
that's sleep time.
Yeah, right. This is the part where you go hide because you don't want anything before you're supposed to get off duty. And I get, you know, I get the shaft and get dispatched to this disturbance call at a donut shop. Yeah, I know. And basically the baker was opening up early to make the donuts, time to make the donuts, and this nut bar in a wheelchair was down there, some old man in a wheelchair slamming his fists on the glass and screaming and yelling obscenities. So I'm en route, and for some reason there was a probation officer that was either going to work or something, because they heard it on the air, and they heard me respond and who I went out there with, and they rolled up to the scene, and that's important in a minute, because I get there and this dude is like when you imagine street preachers in the movies, right? Big white beard, bald head, you know, all kinds of weird shit all over, tchotchkes, just weird, right? That's kind of what this guy was like. And he was wearing this like robe, and he's in a wheelchair, and it was just the most bizarre thing. And he wasn't yelling at the donut shop baker or owner anything specific to them. He was just ranting, just like he had picked the only business that had a person in it to target with his ranting and raving. And so I get there, I start talking to this dude, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to hook him up for except to figure out where he lives and tell him to go home. And the probation officer rolls up, and she goes, yeah, I came because of who you're dealing with. And I said, why? And she goes, well, he's on my probation case. I said, what'd he do? She goes, well, he just got released from the state hospital for the mentally insane, which was also in our city. And I said, well, okay, what, you know, was it criminal or was it just 5150? And she goes, oh no, it was pretty violent. It was just against himself. And I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, God told him to take a box cutter and cut his own dick and balls off.
Oh no.
Prove it.
and he did. He castrated himself on orders from the Lord.
That's commitment.
And that, it was that kind of a piece of information that was important to let me know exactly what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And luckily she said, no, he's my probationer. I'll buy this one. And
sir, have a nice day. Can I get you some coffee?
Enjoy.
Let me grab you a dozen real quick.
Yeah.
Since we're here.
I will literally break my rule of not going into donut shops in uniform to go buy you a dozen donuts to take this dude off my hands.
Yeah. I don't know. People don't realize. I mean, obviously there's crazy people since the beginning of time, but people don't even understand because of what's going on nowadays, all the crazy people that are being let out.
Right.
And all the gnarly shit.
And it started in the 80s when you closed down all the asylums. You know, they said, oh no, you got to release these people and let them live at home and live. No, there's, you can't fix crazy. Just lock it up. Lock it up. That's a story for another time. That's the worst crazy was when we had a crazy in town that we'd all gone to and fought him naked, because they always fight naked. And then, you know, subsequently we're telling for a year and a half, the city and mental health, county mental health, the city, anybody that'll listen, you need to fix this or something bad's going to happen. And I'll tell the story, because something fucking did happen on Christmas Day and two people are dead as a result. So.
There's a shocker. You always got to wait for the bad shit to happen before.
So I lay down the gauntlet, a street preacher who cut his own dick and balls off with a box cutter, and I didn't even have to take paper on it.
That's pretty good.
Right?
Yeah,
anytime you don't have to take paper, but you get to deal with that kind of thing. That's what we were explaining on our Tiger King episode. Cause somebody said, why would I want to watch that? I said, it's like going to your partner's call and the call goes to shit. And all you have to do is watch. Cause you don't
just
have
dust yourself off after.
You just dust. Yeah. You can get in a fight. You can do whatever you want. But yeah. At the end, you wipe the dust off your uniform and you don't have to write a damn word.
Yeah.
That's the best.
That show was so retarded.
It's awesome.
I hated it. Every second of it.
Is it a little too close to home or what?
No, I thought it was completely pointless.
Which
show? I finished Tiger King. I finished it. It was like, wow, those are hours of my life that I'm never getting back.
No, it was amazing. It was a...
However, I would love a tiger for $2,000. Just throwing that out there.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, yeah, until it got big.
That's the problem. Okay, so do what I did. Take the cruise to Ensenada and go to the bar at the Blowhole and drink margaritas and pay the $80 for two people to go in. And
La Bufadora.
And there's a bar there that is a... Margaritas on the top, big cat petting zoo on the bottom. God bless Mexico.
Only in Mexico.
I will post pictures if you guys are interested. I will post pictures on this episode's thread on our board. My wife and I, we held a fucking Black Panther. We held a tiger. We held a lion.
Yeah, I've done it. I did it in Thailand.
It's
interesting.
It's rad.
The last time I was in Ensenada, I was dragging this dumbass out of a bar.
That's true.
Right?
That is true.
hoping that we didn't get fucking hooked up between the bar and the port.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Trying to keep his fucking mouth shut, too.
For some reason, I had it in for homeless people that day.
And there was two of them.
That thing?
I don't know. Actually, I don't really quite remember.
Yeah,
there's
I remember
homeless people in Ensenada?
Huh?
I remember really fucking well.
I guess so.
Wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, go ahead, since we're on short story.
Fatherhood never stops. Yeah, so tell us about Ensenada.
Yeah. All I can remember is we had to take a bus because this dumbass and his friend.
This dumbass being John.
John and his
friend.
And
hold on. I had just got back from deployment. I probably wasn't all.
This you dumbass. Weren't
all
there.
He wasn't all dumb.
You were off the leash.
Some of it was just ass.
And two.
Part of your brain was still in Afghanistan.
Was Kyle there?
Yeah, but he wasn't with us.
It was just Jose.
Yeah, there was two.
Okay. Yeah, this dumbass and one other dumbass are at a bar. And you know how when you get off a cruise ship, you're like, hey, you need to be back on by 4 o'clock and we're waiting. And these motherfuckers, we know they're going to go on to Ensenada. We're never going to fucking see them again. So it's like 2 o'clock.
You need a chaperone.
Ensenada has us now.
Yeah, we're like, fuck.
We are one.
So we ass out ourselves from the ship, hop on the bus. We go to the friggin' row where the goddamn friggin' bars are, and we're bar hopping looking for these idiots.
Papas and beers.
Yeah.
That's where we were.
No, wait.
Was it Senior Frogs or Papas and Beer? I don't know.
It was one of those upstairs.
Yeah, it was one where everybody gets the t-shirt.
Papas and Beer.
I think it was Papas and Beer.
I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
The corner.
We were
anyway. Two stars.
We go upstairs.
I mean, so I've heard.
And dude, there must have been, you know, a space for 30 people. There was probably 100 fucking people in there. Everybody is shit-faced. There's naked women on the bar. People are taking shots off their bodies.
I'm like, waiting for the
fuck.
Problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the story just got better.
Right.
Yeah.
So we split up. We found,
found
this one, and we found the other one. We drug them out, and they did not want to go.
Right.
But we drug them out, and now we have to walk back to where the shuttle is so we can hop on the fucking bus and get back. Well, we're walking down the street, and this idiot is motherfucking everybody, motherfucking the police, motherfucking random people.
I just got back. You can't kill me at that point.
Yeah. True. And after what you've done.
Yeah, but he can't kill you in Afghanistan. Anyway, this is Mexico.
So you want to talk about a fucking cannonball run? Yeah, just trying to shut them both up and get them back to the bus. Then we get on the bus, and of course he's screaming in the bus and calling everybody you know, fucking this and a fucking that. It didn't matter that we were in Mexico. There were just no rules.
And hold on. I've never done this in my life. That's not me.
Like, he's probably going, do that. I'm here illegally, motherfucker.
Dude, I can't even remember half the shit that was.
Point out this is your pride and joy right here.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? Kudos to you, because my dad would have been like, oh, you missed the fucking boat. Bye.
Yeah, this was my dad.
Yeah.
No.
My dad was like, if you come home at 3 a.m. with officers in tow, I'm going to tell them that my kids are upstairs sleeping.
I will tell you that, and even though it's not a cop story, the bars in Mexico are very interesting places, but the one that we went for the tiger petting, smart, brilliant. Margaritas were upstairs. and there was a staircase to go up, but a slide to come back down.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty cool.
So you get shit-faced and you can't come down the stairs because, let's face it, there's no code enforcement in Mexico. Those stairs were, I don't know, they could have been pulled out of a church in World War II. I have no idea. Or they could have been built out of balsa wood, and, you know. But they were smart enough to know that by the time you had enough margaritas, they needed a slide to get you back down the stairs.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, that was my Ensenada experience, which I never need
That wasn't
to
the whole experience. That was one day.
That was the only day in Ensenada.
Oh, in Ensenada, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, no. It was a whole fucking cruise of that shit.
I was going to say.
Oh, no. I'm just saying. Yeah, you know where those idiots went when we got back on the bus? Into the hot tub and just kept on drinking.
Yeah.
Because
that's what you do.
Yeah, at least then.
It was the booze cruise.
Well, fuck it. As long
it was a booze cruise in our defense.
Yeah.
It was.
You know.
But anyway.
Although the best place, what I've learned is there's a whole little deck on the booze cruise boat at the back that has like a hot tub, and it's called the quiet room.
it's called the cabana.
It's something.
Cabana something.
And let me tell you, after dealing with all the fucking idiots on the booze cruise, by the time you get to like the day at sea, going to this little private deck where it's quiet, they'll bring you drinks, but
Havana Cabana. That's what it's called. It's a Havana Cabana deck.
It was pretty good. So
yeah, we stayed there the last couple of times. It's nice and quiet.
Well, I don't know. Has anybody else ever dealt with anybody who's cut off their own genitals with a box cutter?
No, I mean
cut off their own genitals.
No, just about completely rubbed the skin raw, so it was just a membrane.
What? On purpose or on accident?
Yeah, on purpose. I guess that's what you do when you're a meth and have nothing to do.
So don't, just like it's don't eat Cheetos and watch porn. It's don't do meth and beat off.
Right.
He literally rubbed the skin off of it.
Yeah.
Like so it looked like a dog's penis?
Pretty like it.
I'm trying to put I'm just trying to picture this.
That's commitment as well.
That is commitment.
Okay.
Kind of bloody.
It sounds like he wasn't
looks
happy.
Looks like you peel the layer of skin off, the top layer of skin off, and it's like this.
Second degree burn.
Yeah. Are you sure he just wasn't trying to circumcise himself?
Absolutely, 100%. I don't give a fuck what he was trying to do. We told him not to do it anymore.
Hey, was he doing it there in the hospital?
No.
Oh.
He came to the hospital for us to fix it. We can't fix that.
Can you put skin back on my penis, please? Just like a tweaker. You can take it apart, but you can't put it back together.
No, but they damn well will try.
They will. So, okay, so then how... did he tell you how long he...
That's all I'm saying.
What's your professional opinion on how long he was masturbating for?
Yes. How long does it take to
you asking for a friend?
What? We need to know how long is too long.
Well, first of all, you gotta lube it if you're gonna go that vigorous with it. Let's just face it.
Unless he used sandpaper.
Maybe he did.
You know, you never know. That wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
He's like, oh, I wonder what this feels like.
Yeah.
How long do you think? How long does that take?
I don't know, man. I think he said he had the problem for about a week and a half.
Oh.
Oh.
So I don't know.
So he had done it a week and a half prior.
Just fights through the pain every time.
Oh. Damn.
Then again, there is, I mean, you never know. The pain receptor.
We asked him how this happened. He's like, dude, I swear to God, I don't do anything. I'm like, okay. So how did this happen? And that's when he said, dude, I'm fucking jerking off. I'm like, you ever stop? Like, holy shit!
I can't. Tweakers are a whole other breed of human being. Like, I'll take a junkie over a tweaker because junkies get up at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. They get their medicine. They're back in the hole by 10, and you never see them. Right? They just want to not be sick.
Well, they have to go caper. So they have to get up early. They got to go caper to get some shit. True. And they go get there.
All your
dope. And they slam and then they go back.
Yeah, your car bergs at 5 in the morning are to get the cash to go hook dope up at 7 in the morning so that they can be home and
tucked away
up
by 10.
9 or 10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the worst you're going to get from a junkie. But a tweaker?
Yeah, tweakers, you know, good days and bad days. But I feel like now most of the time it's bad days. You know, with tweakers. I don't know if it's just because the meth that's coming out with the fentanyl they're putting in meth now.
Wait, what now?
Huh? The fentanyl?
They're putting fentanyl in meth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's fucked up.
So it seems like, at least as of recent, I would say even like probably past 6 months where we started seeing a lot of fentanyl in meth, that they're having really bad reactions and they're just becoming more violent. Rather than just fucking dying, they're just becoming more violent and just erratic.
Well, because they're splitting the stimulant with the depressant. And
well, it's, I mean, it's fentanyl in a pure form.
Right.
It's like, you know, 400 times
see,
more potent.
You know, John Belushi died of a speedball. Heroin and cocaine. Right? Mm-hmm. That's bad enough. Now you take something that's 10 times worse than heroin and 10 times worse than cocaine and you mix those together. Mm-hmm. This is like, this is the Mach 1 speedball. This is the supersonic speed. This is, that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, they get...
Are like, they just cutting it? Like, or are they manufacturing it with it in it?
I would probably say that things are probably the same in a sense of the fentanyl probably comes over as fentanyl and the meth comes over as meth. And then at some point, it's being cut.
Okay, so it's homegrown. Like, that would be it's not being manufactured.
Everyone's doing it differently.
Fentameth.
Yeah. It's fentanyl and meth.
Right.
Whether it's do the meth and do the fentanyl or mix them together and do them simultaneously.
That two-thirds part this and
Aaron is miming.
But
it's like,
know,
a three shake and a four shake. Yeah, it's good enough.
You know, and who knows how it's coming out is because I just got...
It's coming from China.
Well, no.
China. Anyway, go ahead.
No, so anyways, I thought... I've seen ecstasy a bunch of times and, you know, I got this bag of like 30-something pills and it looked like ecstasy. It was orange, had a weird stamp on it, like the shape of it. And the only thing that it looked like and resembled to me was ecstasy. The only thing that threw me off a little bit was that it was more grainy than I've ever seen ecstasy to be. However, we're not doing testing on the dope now because of all the COVID and then also the whole influx of fentanyl coming in.
You just book it as suspected and
yeah, and then wait for the lab results. Pure fentanyl.
Wow.
And I'm like, how the fuck? See, that's what I'm saying. You can't kill me. Mexico can't kill me. Fentanyl
but
can't
each
kill
of
me.
The, but each of those pills are different.
Right.
That's
right.
The thing.
Right. Yeah, it's not the same dosage per...
Yeah, it's
right.
Like when ecstasy was, you know, it was all based on what pill press they had.
Yeah, you just
you
never
getting...
know what the fuck you're going to get now. It's literally
did
like
you get
Cracker
the butterfly?
Jack box.
No, man, I got the triangle.
Right.
Yeah, you just never know nowadays. But...
What's the number one drug that you would not... You'd hate... For me, it was meth. Like, I didn't deal with tweakers.
For sure.
Like, I know PCPs...
Fucking PCP.
Yeah, that would be the worst, but the problem is...
Hell yeah.
But here's
it's
the thing.
So rare.
It's rare now. I would say now.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe now it's rare.
And the meth is starting to do what PCP does.
Correct.
Oh, that could be.
You know,
it's,
so...
It's almost like the same as the old days of PCP, and now you're seeing the same behavior, same shit.
Right.
Just different
combative, drug. Doesn't feel anything.
Well, and methamphetamine... According to the studies, if the chronic use will turn, they do brain scans of chronic users, and their brain scans look identical to the brain scans of paranoid schizophrenics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
easy.
You're basically 100%. Taking paranoid schizophrenic drugs.
Yeah. Like one of the most fucked up calls. Man acting erratic, naked on the street. Fuck.
Yeah. They're. Okay,
that's the call.
There's two kinds of. I don't know if most people understand this. Everybody thinks of the guy swinging, you know, signposts at the cops, but there's two kinds.
It's a 50-50. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, because PCP, for those of you who don't know, was invented so they could perform surgery on people who were awake. That's why it was invented. They then realized that was not a good idea and it didn't work that way and they should probably just outlaw it and ban it and they wish they could uninvent it. At which point somebody said, that might be fun to do, you know, just for shits and giggles. Kind of like the people that said, hey, ketamine's a horse tranquilizer. Let's try it at a party. You know, and so PCP became something that... And yes, there's a difference. If they call it... It's not formaldehyde. Don't smoke formaldehyde. You'll just fucking die.
Actually, go ahead and do it.
That's true too.
Yeah,
go ahead. If you're thinking about smoking formaldehyde, blow your brain. Fine, go ahead. But so Elliot can attest to it. You get either completely catatonic, unresponsive, or
but
a wild Wolverine, mm-hmm. honey badger, naked yeah. human peeing, all covered in sweat.
One of the most mellow guys that I ever came across. This guy, black guy, was about maybe 6'4", 6'5". I mean, just like fuck. A mammoth dude, just a huge dude, totally 100% compliant.
Right.
Hey, can you put your hands behind your back? Okay.
Right.
Can you turn this way? Okay. Zero, nothing, never had a problem. One of the worst fights I've been in was like a 5-foot little blonde female.
Yeah,
that was like a fucking spider monkey on PCP.
Yep. And they were both on PCP.
No, they're both on PCP.
Just two different.
And she about fucked two of us up.
Back in my ambulance, 200-pound female. Stood 5 foot, maybe.
She was a fire hydrant.
Oh, my God, dude. That's the one where I went fucking blasting out the back doors.
Like she tossed you?
She was in the middle of tossing me. Okay. And I'm like, stop. And we had a sheriff. We had a sheriff behind us escorting. Yeah. And I'm like, stop the rig, stop the rig. And I open up the back doors and poof, and I went flying out.
Yep. Yep.
She was.
You'd rather take your chances with the road than with.
Hell yeah.
The blonde tornado.
I got.
We weren't even stopped when I opened those fucking doors, man.
I got literally airborne tossed like three rows in a bus, feet off the ground, by this little 5 foot, 90 pound female, while the other guy is trying to hold her down. I mean, just. Can't even explain it.
There's a video of a guy.
I think that's the only woman I've ever punched in the face, actually, now that I think about it.
You hit a girl.
I mean, I hit her so many times in the face, I don't even know what happened. I just didn't feel it. I had
to testify once to a cop hitting a woman in the face, like just broke her fucking nose. And you would think, oh, why would you have to testify about, you know, a cop breaking a woman's nose? Well, because she was handcuffed in the back of a police car when he broke her nose. And you're always told there's two circumstances under which you never hit anybody. One is in custody in the interrogation room, and two is handcuffed in the back of a police car. But the reason I had to testify was because this fucking bitch, the sergeant at the time, was talking to her, trying to calm her down, and she was just fucking insane. And he, you know, goes to put the seatbelt on her, and I'm on the other side of, so the way we would do it, and I don't know about you guys, but we had this, if you had to seatbelt somebody in, one guy would go on one side and one guy would go on the other side of the, you know, cage, and he would pull the seatbelt out as far as he could and then hand it across to the other person, and then the other person would click it in, so you didn't have to climb across their body. So it was just a two-person seatbelt thing.
Are you
for
talking
safety.
About someone that's already a problem?
She's already a problem.
Yeah,
she's
no.
been a problem.
That's a hog tie, and you're getting tossed
but
in like a loaf of bread.
She wasn't quite yet. She was only verbal at that point.
Yeah.
Right? And so he reaches across to hand me the seatbelt, and this fucking piranha leans forward and latches her teeth on to the meat of the bottom of his fist. And he's, and I look, and his skin is blanched white from the pressure, and I'm starting to see the what looks like her trying to take a chunk out of his hand, and he told her let go, and the only recourse he had was to just pop her right in the fucking nose to get her to open her mouth and release his hand. And he
That's
had like
fair.
A football shaped fucking purple teeth mark. It was disgusting. And you hit me in the face.
Hell yeah. Well,
you fucking bit my hand.
Yeah,
you deserved it.
So
you earned that one.
You know, I got one just popped in my head. Okay. It kind of reminded me when you said hit in the face. So he was John was talking about fights and how he got into a fight, and you know, the guy had, what did he have in his hand? Or he had something in his hand.
Whatever. Oh, 12 millimeter Allen wrench.
Yeah, an Allen wrench and all that. So we've all
Who
been
fucking tries to stamp somebody with an Allen wrench.
I don't know, but it happens.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Well, so I've been like, I'm sure other people here, I've been hit more than once in the head, in the face. I've had glancing shots. I've had, you know, just in the midst of a fight, maybe by other cops too.
Sure.
I mean,
asses and elbows, man.
Okay. So here's a story, and I only know the ending of this story because someone else saw it, because I don't remember it.
You get your bell rung?
Out.
Oh. Yeah.
So I get a call of a domestic violence, females at the emergency room. So we go to the emergency room, and of course, shit like this would not happen, and you'll hear this, but people would not even dare to, well, maybe there, but maybe.
There are places on this earth
there are places
where
that still
might
do it.
But.
Right. So I get to the emergency room, and
with cameras.
Hispanic female, man, she is fucked up. She got the living shit beat out of her. I mean, teeth knocked out, the whole thing. I mean,
a legitimate victim.
I mean, legitimate. Got her ass kicked by her husband. Husband's I think at the time he was what, maybe in his early 30s, old time gangster, just in and out of prison, just an asshole, right? So taking the report, and someone, I don't remember who it was. I mean, it's a while ago. Someone comes in and says, "Hey, I think her husband's in the lobby." They're like, what?
We just had that a couple of weeks ago in our year.
Of course. Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
Because I love her. I'm checking up on her.
So we go to the lobby.
She ran into my hand.
Yeah. And sure as shit, he's in the lobby.
I was cleaning my fist and it went off.
Yeah. he sees us coming and boom, bolts right out of the doors. And so now myself and my partner are trying to get out of the hospital because there's glass between us. He's already running down the ramp.
Oh, no.
And we're running through the emergency room, looking at him through the window, trying to come around, right? So by the time we get around...
Please tell me the Benny Hill music was playing.
Oh, we get around, he hops on his bike. He has a motorcycle, right?
Oh, I thought his bike.
Yeah.
No, his motorcycle. So he hops on the motorcycle.
In that case, it wouldn't have been his bike.
A bike.
we get in our cars. We get on them pretty quickly, light them up, pursuits on. Right? So we have a legitimate felony.
Yeah, this is right? A legit and felony even back domestic then, violence.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally legit.
Was this pre 273.5?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were going after him for basically...
attempt murder.
Yeah.
I mean, he fucked her up. I mean, she had tubes and wires. I mean, he beat the shit out of her.
Okay.
So we're chasing this guy. We're in and out of off streets. You know, he gets some distance. He's on a bike. Thank God he wasn't that great a rider because he probably could have smoked us, as you guys know. But he gets away from us, and then we catch up to him, and he gets away from us. We get on the freeway, and I've already decided if I can get close enough to this guy, I'm fucking running him over. Fuck this guy. I'm done with this. Right, I mean, this went on for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah,
pit, and we're going back and forth.
That's no big deal.
Yeah, pit on a long before the sure. pit. We had that shit dialed in.
Yeah,
right. So we're on the freeway. We're on the freeway.
It was cool.
Fuck yeah, pit. What's the? Yeah, when they came out with the pit, we're like, "What do you mean we have to go to school to do this? I did this like 15 years ago." What are you talking
about? So what you're saying is you named it.
Yeah, you named it. You okay. Do shit all the time. Thanks. Anyway. So we're on the freeway, and he goes to this off ramp, and I knew the area that off ramp has a really sharp, almost hairpin turn to get down to the street.
Oh, he's
so mad. I figured this motherfucker's either going to slow down, or he's going off the off ramp, or I'm going to get a shot at him. And sure as shit, he came slow. I mean, very, very slow, and I freaking T-boned his ass. Right? Car went, bike went under the car. The car went onto the bike. We both kind of went just a little bit over the edge. He went flying off, got up running.
Of course he did.
Like he's a cockroach. Right. Yeah.
Right?
Fucking goblins, man.
We're now running through the grass area that's coming from the off ramp down to the city street. We have an airship overhead, right? And so I put it out. I'm in foot pursuit, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm in better shape than this guy, and so within about a half a block, I'm right on his ass, and I'm about to grab him, and he turns around, and the last thing I saw was his fist.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I remember a couple of things, but the rest was from the airship and from transmissions, because I don't really remember. He knocked me out.
Right.
So basically, I ran into his fist while he turned around to hit me.
So shit does happen.
So
really? Basically just made his case.
Right.
Yeah, I made his case.
Right.
So apparently what happened was, and I do remember thinking, as I Wait, remember
how
being
old
hit.
Were you?
26, 27.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he...
Young enough to know better, smart enough, or dumb enough not to care.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
And I do remember thinking, I'm going out. He's going to take my gun. I do remember thinking that. And so apparently what I did is, as I was going out, I grabbed my baton, and in one motion pulling it out, went right across the top of his head.
Whoa, dude, you gave him from the ring.
From the ring, right across the top of his head. And then both of us fell, and we were both knocked out.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this only for the airship, because the airship, I heard the transmissions
dude,
after.
Dude, you delivered a knockout blow while you were going out.
I knew I was going
That's
out.
That's rad.
Right. We both went out.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I remember is I was on my back, and I remember waking up and looking over to my left, and my lieutenant was on top of the guy with a friggin' streamlight.
Right.
And all I could hear was thunk, 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 thunk. Just thunk, thunk, thunk. Sorry, dude.
The dog. John's Malinois was like, Are we fighting?
Yeah. Anyway, so he happened to be the first person to get there, and of course, he finished whatever needed to get done.
I'm he made the sure guy, that he was taken into custody without further incident.
Yeah. So
nobody else was getting knocked out.
After the fact, we talked about it, and I was like, then we heard the transmission after they got the recording. And basically the airship is saying, yeah, he's in foot pursuit. I do remember hearing that. I do remember that he's in a fight. And then I hear, oh!
Timestamp that sound because that's when I got knocked out.
I still have the tape somewhere if I can find it. It's in a cassette tape.
You should. Oh, that's awesome. I'll digitize it for you.
If I can find it, yeah. I still have it. You could hear, oh! And then it's quiet for a second and they're like, they're both down.
Well, so those are the days they taught you, because you probably were carrying a straight stick.
The same straight stick that he has.
And that you had, you know, it was not even a PR-24. It was just a...
No.
It was a
hunk fucking of billy club.
Yeah.
It's just a billy club.
And they taught you three from the ring, right? And it was this technique of drawing your baton and delivering three coordinated strikes right from the draw. You just had to give him the first one. It was one from the ring.
It was run from the ring over the top.
Right.
I do remember that. I remember thinking that.
I used to hear the old timers say, did you give him three from the ring? No, I gave him 10 from the sky. That was the other one I heard. Hickory shampoo.
Hickory shampoo. Yeah.
I've never heard that
hickory
one.
Hickory shampoo. That's funny. Yeah. Anyway. Well, the military, you know, there was stuff I'd never heard. Like, I'd never heard of a blanket party until I got out of the Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is a blanket
party? Hold them down, beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen A Few Good Men, you know what a two-person blanket party looks like.
Yep.
True. You know what's funny about that?
Oh, Full Metal Jacket has a blanket
party.
Full Metal Jacket has a blanket party. What's funny about that, the baton, first of all, was that custom made by somebody, or was that like, or was that an actual company that made them back then?
No, it was from a company.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, what's funny, like, is when you hold this thing, I mean,
they sent me to go get my shit, and I went over there and they had a black one and they had a blonde one. I'm like, well, fuck it. The blonde one looks good. I'll just take it.
Oh, okay.
And blonde was authorized back then.
Yeah.
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 So I carry it now, right. but I haven't had, like, I've used the PR-24. I've used a Diamondwood straight stick before, which is a really nice stick or whatever, but this one just has a whole different feel to it, and I'd never actually got to use it on anyone until literally like 3 days ago. And what's funny about it is it's when you hold it, it's a little shorter, but it's also extremely light. It's like streamlined. I don't know how to explain it.
It's the wood they used, and my dad's is the black one, but it's probably the same wood. It's just painted black, and it's like probably 22, not 24. It's probably 22.
You think it's just noticeably shorter.
Just noticeably shorter, and it's fat.
Right.
It's a little bit fat, like maybe.
And it's got grooves in the
No, this one, his wasn't knurled, but it has the rubber grommet.
Yeah, so it's got the rubber grommet.
But I didn't carry it. I carried my... They initially told us to carry an ASP, and then I tried to carry PR-24.
Yeah, well, I've seen an ASP fail too many times. I never carried one. So I might as well just tell the story, but because what's funny is leading up to this incident, you know, I always carry it. And I'm like, man, like, because carrying a Diamondwood, it's heavy. You feel how dense it is. And not to knock this one, but
this one, you seem like you're going to break it if you hit someone with it.
That's literally what it feels like.
But it's strong. It's just
not going to break.
Yeah, no.
So
it's probably flexible a little bit.
So we get a call to ex-husband is at the door of an apartment and he's trying to break into the house and whatever. So anyways, we all roll up there. I'm the third unit there. The first two officers that are there had just walked through the gate into this apartment complex. So I'm literally right by seconds behind them. When I walk through the gate, I see both of them have their hands on this guy. And they're just telling him, hey, man, relax for a second. We're just going to pat you down or we're going to walk you outside. And you could see in his eyes, you know, he's not going to go with the program. And he starts to tense up. And then as soon as I get close enough to where I can help them take him to the ground, he gets all meth strong. And we were just talking about the meth or whatever. And he literally breaks their grip easy. We kind of all have a little different view of what happened in that moment. But regardless, he threw a one-two at me. He nailed me with one of them. He got me right in the side of the head. Come to find out, he was holding a 12-millimeter Allen wrench, which is a big Allen wrench. I don't know if you guys have ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know what that is. It's pretty fucking thick.
Well, bigger than a 9-millimeter.
True. Mm-hmm. So he was using it as a fist pack, but also trying to hit us and actually stab us with it. I didn't know that at the time. The officers that originally had him, I guess one of them actually saw it in his hand. I didn't see it by the time I had walked up there. So regardless, so now him and I are throwing fists. Another officer that was behind me now starts throwing fists. One of our officers goes down actually pretty quick because he gets hit with an ASP the one time it works. It works on an officer and he goes down. And so he's just trying to push back and get away from this fucking melee because his leg's out of commission. And we beat this guy to the point of where I see his right leg. He's almost on his butt, almost, but his right leg is protruding with literally nothing around it. And I had my stick already out, waiting for a shot. And as hard as I could, I cracked this dude in the shin with it. And what was funny is while I'm swinging it, the swing, you almost don't even feel it in your hands. It's so light. Mm-hmm. But the amount of force that stick hits with, you feel it right when it makes contact.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched his skin split like a fucking watermelon. I mean, it blood spray and everything, and it brought him back to reality real quick.
Yeah, pain complaints.
And I was like, dude, this little stick is... I legit thought, while they're still fighting, I'm like, this is fucking legit.
At the end, I love you so much. So, I love you, stick.
So, I got a few more hits or whatever, put it away, whatever. We take him into custody or whatever. So anyways, that was the story or whatever. But I mean,
your face looks good.
Huh?
Your face looks good.
You know, I didn't bruise. I thought I was going to bruise on my... Because he got me like right in my right eye.
No, it doesn't... I mean, you can see a little scratch, but...
He punches like a bitch.
So the first and last time I ever used the ASP on somebody, it bounced back. Like, and the ASP instructor was like, "Well, it's because you didn't fall through." I'm like, "Fucking fall through."
No, I've seen that thing collapse when it's not supposed to collapse. I've seen it bend.
I mean, there's a time and place for those things. I mean, like if you're on a bike patrol and you're limited, course you have. Sure. That's all you have,
right?
But if you have a choice,
I tried the PR24, but it's unwieldy. And I heard a very interesting take on the PR24, which is inevitably what ends up happening is you don't use it like a martial artist would.
No.
You just use it like a
tomahawk.
Right. Yeah. And the department I was talking to, somebody at their use of force, you know, cadre, that said they don't allow the PR24. It's ASP or straight stick. I said, really, why? And they said, because when somebody hits somebody with a PR24, they're using it like a club. Mm-hmm. And to the people who see the side handle and see that it's a martial arts instrument and they've seen it used in movies and stuff, they think, well, that's not how it's supposed to be used. They're just being brutal and they're using this tool like a club. So then just carry a club, because that's what it ends up getting used as anyway.
But the UR handle is pretty cool when you use it like a tomahawk. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. But so I didn't.
Raider Games, Coliseum. Just saying.
I heard it from a friend.
Who heard it from a friend?
There was actually a video. But anyway.
No, so I bought a Koga baton because I'd heard that they were like shit, and it's diamond wood, and they had color choices, and it has this beautiful like cherry red wood kind of color to it. And I was like, yeah, I'll take that over, you know, just black or blonde or whatever. And it's 26 inches. The Koga batons are 26 and 29, I guess. And it's a little bit skinnier, but like 100 times more dense because it's diamond wood, like you said. So the first week I had it, I threw it in the ring and I was carrying it. And I realized that as I was talking to dirtbags who potentially were going to go sideways on me, their eyes would go from my face to the stick, back to my face to the stick, back to my face. Back to this, and finally one guy goes, you couldn't actually hit me with that thing, could you? And I literally fuck around and find out.
Watch me.
And so, you know, boys and girls out there, there is a deterrent effect to carrying a big fucking hunk of wood that is visible down your leg, as opposed to a little tiny ASP that, you know, it was like we got the 40mm launchers that replaced our shotguns. Mm-hmm. And the shotguns went into the trunk, and the 40mm launchers with the Nerf rounds replaced them. And the first time, because you can shoot somebody from 5 feet away with that thing, and it's a, you know, 40mm barrel, looks like a grenade launcher. The first time it gets deployed, they point at the guy, and the guy goes, "You can't shoot me with that thing," and foomp. Oops. Turns out I can.
Yeah, I never carried one, but I don't know if anybody's ever seen someone get hit with an Arwen.
Ugh.
I've never actually
okay,
seen
describe.
It. I don't know how to explain it. Airborne into a freezer. How about that? That's the only way I can describe it. The sheriffs, I think, still carry it.
Really?
I think so. I think they still... Well, it was the sheriffs that deployed it
I've never seen anybody carry one.
Yeah, ever. Some guy went to rob a 211, so he went running in there with a knife and jumped over the counter. And the guy behind the counter is like, "Well, fuck this shit." He jumped over the counter and ran outside. So now the asshole's in the 7-Eleven by himself. Right? So we get there.
Is that one where the store owner held the door closed?
No.
Oh.
No. He just ran out. And so we were there like within a couple of minutes. The guy's in there and, you know, we come get on him. Sheriffs were also responding, and he takes a knife and he's like, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. We're like, well, then go ahead. I mean, okay. Let's so now this. Now he's in like the, if you could picture a 7-Eleven, you open the double doors and then there's just the long walkway right. where you have the counter on the left and like aisles the on the aisles, right. Yeah, he's standing in the middle, but all the way toward the back. And right at the back.
He's at the Slurpees.
Well, right at the back was one of those flip-up coolers where you can go and get ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's standing in front of that and the sheriffs are like, hey, check out this new thing we got. It's called an Arwen. Go for it. So they walk in there and thump, one hit him dead center in the yeah. chest, off his feet, into the cooler. Yeah. Done. Game over.
Yeah. They're highly effective.
It looked like a, as I remember it, it looked almost like a baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only way I could describe it. It was like, it's not a softball, but kind of like a baseball size wise.
Yeah. Well, it's like the 40 millimeters. It's like you take a Nerf ball, cut it in half, and then put a big giant hard plastic projectile behind it. So that it doesn't break skin, but has some
skin.
Mass to impact.
Yeah, but then it breaks skin and bones.
They break skin and bones.
Oh, you know what's the ones that are insane? Is
all
like
all the people with encarceritis that come in. they have broken skin and broken bones.
No, the baton rounds, like that you shoot them out of the launcher, but it's a baton round, so it's a wood dowel that's been scored, and you shoot it at the ground in front of them, and then when it hits the ground, the discs break apart where it's been scored and then skip back up and hit you in the shins and the calves.
In the calves. And they hurt a lot.
Hurt. So it's like a projectile baton and woof, man.
Yeah. My legs got to see the wrong end of those things in the DNC.
Oh, wow. Down yeah, I don't want to I've seen them work. I don't want to be.
Ouch.
Yeah. We were in the crowd when they got started to get deployed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oops.
So when I was overseas in Iraq, we were based with the Iraqi army. And during the day, they would help guard the towers with us. And if they didn't show up, they had this fucking colonel that would beat the shit out of them with an asp, legitimately. He'd fucking extend this thing and start beating them for not showing up. So
Well, they're effective against people that aren't allowed to fight back.
Right. So
reasonable.
Yeah. So we had our vehicle staged. So we had some NVGs go missing. It turns out one of their guys ended up stealing it. We found it in one of their hooches. And the colonel comes out and he's beating the shit out of this guy with this asp. And as he goes to hit him, the thing collapses and he socks the dude in the face. So then he gets pissed off and he grabs a 2x4 and starts beating him with the fucking 2x4.
Wow. And you think it's bad in our military.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a little different.
Well, that's what
world.
We were talking about. The quarantine here is, you know, not that bad compared to countries where you step outside and they just shoot you.
Let's not go down that road now.
That's true. It's the amount of force you have to apply to somebody. I would go back to the SAP. I really would if I could have. I recommended it to the department. I basically made it when they made me a use of force instructor and I went to, you know, some use of force documentation and went to all these other departments, talked to them about what they were doing and then revamped our use of force policy. And I proposed two things and one of them I won and one of them I lost. And the one I lost was bringing the SAP back mm-hmm. as a legitimate, you know, self-defense weapon. And at the time, LA County Sheriff could still carry them.
Yeah, we carried them for a while.
What's a SAP? Yeah.
It's basically
a
lead
blackjack?
Head. Yeah, blackjack, lead head.
A leather thong with a spring and a lead shot in it. So you see them in the movies that, you know, the bad guys always have this little leather flap that kind of widens out. And it's usually packed with buckshot or, you know,
for close quarters.
Yes.
That was by far one of the most neutralizing little things. Yeah.
There was a round sap, which is, you know, like a little billy club. And then there was the flat sap, the beaver tail.
Beaver tail.
Like a beaver tail. Yeah. And you could get them. I mean, it's funny because now where I work, we have, you know, them to use in period movies and stuff like that. And somebody brings one into my office and goes, hey, and he puts it on my desk and goes, can we get any more of these bondage paddles? And I went, that's what? No, that's not a bondage pad. And they went, well, no, it was in with all the sex toy stuff. Well, then one of you people putting props back doesn't know where it goes. That's a police sap. But you know, the only problem with that was, well, not the only, people getting hit in the head and stuff like that. But the guys who were carrying the flat saps would turn them on their side.
Oh, yeah, the corners.
And hit with the edge. And then I'm not saying that I know this person. And if I did say I knew them, I wouldn't say their name, but I'm not saying I do. There may or may not have been somebody I knew who etched a smiley face into the leather on their sap. So when you got the mark from the sap hitting you, you knew it was his.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
Not too bad. Yeah. But they're, you know, blackjack, flat sap, you know, they're a great, great close quarters weapon, and you can avoid a lot of injury, and they do such like deep tissue, like bruising.
They're just painful.
It's, you remember when you were a kid and somebody would just come along out of nowhere and just drive their knee into your thigh and give you a Charlie horse?
Yeah.
It's basically a weapon to deliver Charlie horses. And there was a guy at LAPD back in the day that used to make them in his spare time. And he named them based on the size. He would name them after the penal code. So he had the smallest one was the 415, which is, you know, noise disturbance fight. And then he had the larger model, which was the 245, assault with a deadly weapon. And then the largest model was the 187.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. You don't remember the Gonzalez 187? Oh God. If you can find one, they're collector's items, but it's pretty cool. Did you guys have fun with the speed round? I think it was fun. But we're kind of running out of time, I think, for this episode. Do you guys have anything that you want to add or share? I don't have any emails.
Do any
this
of
episode.
These stories count as like a COVID stat?
Anyone that died in our stories will be statted as COVID because the story is being told during the quarantine, and therefore the death is now COVID. Aaron's face right now.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. It's retroactively declared COVID.
Yeah, I'll be happy when this fucking coronavirus is done.
I do have a puzzling question.
Okay.
Why do we need, we're going to go down this road, I suppose, whatever. Why do we need a vaccine that is 45% effective for a virus that has a 99% survival rate?
Oh, I don't need it.
No, and I don't mean that. I mean that as a serious question.
Here's the thing. All those studies and all the shit that's coming out with the fucking coronavirus. I keep my personal thoughts to myself, but basically what they're showing now is that coronavirus is definitely much more deadlier than like the flu. So
sure.
We can put that fucking argument to rest now.
Sure.
Because everyone's in it to try and win the race, and the finish line, there's a lot of this
money.
Yeah. And so, whether it's a vaccine, there's a company who is touting that they have a cure.
That
they still have to
cure.
Test it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I stay away from all the news. I'm done with it. I'm done with the fucking studies. There's millions of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people out there who've had it who haven't been tested. So how accurate can these studies be? Some of their forecasts were spot on. But all of us in the ER stuff, we're over it. What I do know is that we still have people dying, still have people coming in very sick. I'm still having to FaceTime families when their family member is dying, and that's a shitty thing
to do.
That's
a shitty thing.
It's a shitty place to be in. And there are things that we normally would do to save a life that we can't, although we've broken that rule a few times, and it's just a shitty situation to be in. So this vaccine, whether it's 45% accurate or 72% accurate or 45% accurate on 90% of the people who have
80% of the symptoms.
Right.
You know, like, fuck.
Yeah, how do you...
The only way to do it is start using it on people. So, so test it on mice and pigs or whatever else they're testing it on. And, you know, then they'll start testing it on people. And that's, you know, we'll never get the answer. We'll get the answer, but not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Just still find it funny, all these anti-vaxxers that are now saying we need a cure for this immediately.
They were some of the first people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, all you people that like your herbal disinfectants, just switch back to Clorox real fucking quick, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Anyway, John, do you have anything? I don't have any emails this week or this episode because we record two in one day and I already read them.
Yeah. No. Just thanks everyone for the support. I know we're getting a lot of...
Go ahead.
No, you cut me off. Go ahead.
Warzone.
Yes. That's where I was going.
Okay, good. Okay. I didn't want you to forget.
No, thanks for all of the support. I know you guys are sending us messages and emails and stuff because of all the COVID stuff that's going on. And I know a few guys have thanked us for continuing to pump you guys some episodes. Obviously, you guys know our thoughts on this, and we'll keep giving you what you guys want. I think kind of the latest thing we've done, I know a lot of people since this whole quarantine has happened is taking up this whole Call of Duty Warzone thing. And so what we did was, as a way to keep in contact with some of you guys, if you guys are playing that Call of Duty Warzone, we started our own clan on there.
It's Fortnite for grownups.
Yeah, Fortnite for grownups.
There's a lot of fucking teenagers on there, though. Let's
100%. No, 100%. Yeah. When you kill them, they give you the 3 seconds. They're like, fuck your mom. And I'm like, who the fuck? You're 10. Like, what? So anyways, yeah. So we have so you can look up our clan tag. It's WARPC. And
WARPC?
War Stories Podcast. It's a clan tag. Hey, guys. So Tom is still new to this whole thing.
Yes, I'm just... So, John had to set it up. And I know how to play. Like, I played... Halo.
Oh, did I say TC? Sorry, I meant WSOP.
Is it WRPC?
War Stories.
Okay.
PC podcast. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Regardless, so you can look us up that way. If you can, just shoot us a request, and then we'll add you to the clan. And then whenever you see one of us you could always request to get in the game, or we're trying to rotate because we got like 7 or 8 people on there so far. We just started this thing, and we just try to rotate them through games.
WSPC, War Stories Podcast, is the 4 letters that they need.
Yeah.
Or is it more?
I'll post it.
Okay. Jan will post it. But for the people that want to plan it, we're going to start posting scheduled times on our forums. So if you're a member of the forum and you happen to play, then you'll be able to know in advance instead of just rolling the dice that you happen to find one of us online. And then if you don't subscribe, then you can just roll the dice and see if we're online.
Yeah.
You can play with other listeners, and then you might find one of us just jumping into a match. And if we're playing squads, John's still teaching me the ins and outs of this battle royale concept, and the fact that there's no respawning. And anyway, it's fun. But if you want to play with us, then we'll put that out there for people. It's just a way to, you know, stay connected with you guys for shits and giggles. Anyway.
Oh, as a matter of fact, that reminds me, remember the episode that we, this was a few episodes ago. We had is when we did, the convict episode.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we had someone message us that said, hey, that was me a long time ago.
Yes.
You know, I'm ex-con, blah, yep, blah, blah.
Right.
I play with him now.
Yeah.
And chat with him.
Yeah.
Good dude. Solid guy.
Yeah. Who is it? Did we game last night?
Huh? Before he wasn't with us last night. Mm-mm.
Oh, you can even play with Sean because Sean's on the clan tech too. See,
yeah. Yep.
Look at that. But no, it's just a way for us to have fun and connect. And if you guys, you know,
Elliot's like, fuck no.
Fuck no. One of these days we have to like get Elliot to sit down and play it. We'll teach him how to play it and then we'll film him playing it.
Okay. Let's go back to when we paintballed. All of a sudden, the flag goes up. This is all new to me. All of a sudden, the flag goes up, and everybody just starts shooting at each other and running around like a bunch of fucking chickens without a head. You remember what I did?
I mean,
I just laid in one place and just picked them off one at a time.
Yeah, there's plenty of people doing this. Yeah.
I know.
Sniping.
So it's the same. It's like, camping. Why are we doing this? Why?
Well, so this game prevents you kind of from doing that to a certain extent because of the way it's set up.
It's strategery.
It's strategery.
Strategery.
It's strategery. And when you have a team of people that know what they're doing and know how to properly communicate and understand tactical concepts of moving in, you know, squads.
You legitimately have to.
You do. Yeah. I tried playing it solo so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I tried playing it solo to get my, it's frustrating as fuck to play it by yourself. And then the next time, John's like, no, just jump in with me. And so I, you know, played with John as a squad. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is a way better game when you have a team. It's
no.
It's super fun.
No.
I'm just going to the
But boat. Doing the solos is pretty cool, too.
No.
Yeah.
Solo sucks.
Solo's great.
So
regardless.
Yeah. So that's
we'll post
the latest thing, if you want. you can get in the lobby. And the way we're kind of doing it is, you know, if you're in a match with one of us and there's nobody waiting, then you'll stay in. And if it's kind of like at the amusement park, if there's nobody in line, they'll let you ride the roller coaster again. If not, you got to get out and give somebody else a turn. So, other than that, I don't have anything. No, updates on the shirts was given in our last episode. Mm. Hopefully that means that by the time this episode airs, we are shipping them have them.
Yeah, they're in route.
So, we'll keep you posted. And again, if you didn't, by the time you hear this episode, if you didn't at least get confirmation that we're shipping it out or have some sort of communication from us about it, hit us up and we'll give you a status on when it's going to come. So other than that, Aaron?
No, I'm good.
Final thoughts?
No. Sean? No final thoughts.
No, good.
Just no Springer's final thoughts? Ellie?
Nope, I'm good.
I love the short stories episodes because we always said this. Inevitably, somebody tells a story and says, oh, that reminds me. Oh, that reminds me. Now we need to get some short stories do the firefighters take over and just let them have at it. Because
we've been talking about that for a while, so we'll schedule it.
So that was supposed to happen, but again, with all this.
Even though JR's not a firefighter, it's his fucking fault.
It is his fault. It's always JR's fault. Yeah. Because JR, you know, can't ever make it.
Right.
Here. So, JR, fuck you. And in the meantime, come home with your shield or on it.